following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland.
Greetings, salutations, aloha, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland from the home office in Memphis, Tennessee, episode 315. Hitting the skids here. this is an interesting bit of a scenario that I have found myself in here today. The reason being, this is take two. This is very rare. This is a very rare thing for you. I did entirely episode 315. It was done. I'd mastered it. It was ready to go. I was getting ready to do the final edits on this thing and get it into the show. Get all the bells and whistles and all the fun stuff that goes with it. I was about to have all of that and I got sidetracked. Oh, I'm a dumbass. And I just closed the file, as you do, getting ready to move into another phase of the program to pull up the template to make it happen. Most of you won't understand this, but that's okay. And what did I do? God damn it. I closed it without saving it. Damn it. So it's a rare thing, but that's okay. I've got time to make it happen. So who knows? It might be better the second time around. Then again, I don't know. There was some nuggets of wisdom in that first one. That first take, boy, howdy. Got it going good, man. Oh, it's okay. It's these things happen. This is what happens when you try and multitask. Because I have multiple things going on here with this computer. I have two separate monitors, which is a blessing, but it's also quite the curse because you're trying to make things happen, trying to get things going on. I'm going, okay, do this, okay, I can do that. Trying to save some time, get a little time for myself, make it work, get some executive time into my schedule. You see what I'm saying? And so I just effed it all up. And well, damn it. And here we are. Right. We were talking about as I had in the first version of this, which is okay. We'll talk about it again. We were talking a little bit about the as the tease from last week would indicate, there is soon to be a craving for a fish sandwich coming to you. We saw this before, didn't we, with the chicken thing between Popeyes and the hate chicken, Chick-fil-A. They had a chicken sandwich war. And it was big. It was a lot of fun. It was kind of fun to watch. It was fun to watch corporate food deals sit there and tell you which sandwich they thought was better than the other. And as we've talked about before, the bottom line was you had to figure out which one was less mediocre. You know, that's just kind of what that is. It's going to tie into the major topic of this program here in just a little while because I'm going to tell you what else is going on. The sandwich wars are heating back up again. It's not chicken this time, though, my friends. You probably heard about this. It's a fish sandwich war. Mickey D's, the long-standing deal, the Golden Arches, the McDonald's, the one with the clown, had the square fish patties, the Filet-O-Fish. Kind of a sad little sandwich, quite frankly, but it's been around for a long, long time. And the whole story was that it came out as an alternate to a burger for your Lent. I don't know if you knew that or not, but yeah, that's what the whole point of that was. And they found that during Lent, when people didn't typically eat meat on a Friday, they would go to the Mickey D's and get them a fish sandwich. Well, guess who's picking up the fight now? Of all places, Arby's. They're claiming they're actually using a whole filet on their sandwich. So I don't know. We'll see. But so you're going to be seeing a lot of advertisement for this, especially as we get closer to the Lenten season. As we work our way toward Easter, it's going to be all about the fish sandwich, and it's going to be fun to watch it to see really which one has the less shitty sandwich. It's because, you know, it's still fast food, my friends. That's all it is. Now, believe it or not, that whole thing about these sandwiches and you being caught in the middle as a consumer ties neatly into what we're talking about today. We'll cut into that coming up right after this from Radioland.
Keep calm and haunt on with Historical Haunts, Memphis Haunted Tour Company, Ancient Burial Mounds, Yellow Fever, Maritime Disasters, Victorian murders and ghost stories are all a part of the Memphis dark history. Join Historical Haunts for a spirited night out on the Haunted Memphis Bus Tour, Haunted Pub Crawl, the Woodruff Fontaine House Ghost Tour, or one of our other spooky tours and events. Check out our website for all of the exciting ghost tours and ghost haunts at historicalhauntsmemphis.com.
So there you are. You're sitting on your couch. You want to know what you're going to watch on the TV, right? You know, if you've got one of those. Some people don't. That's fine. A lot of people watch their entertainment. They get their entertainment through their device, through their phone, through their tablet, maybe their laptop. Maybe some people, and I'm one of them, that tends to watch a bit of entertainment on my computer, on my desktop machine, which I keep in my home. It's not like I just drive around with it, although that would be sort of amusing if you could. Interesting stuff that's happening out there, isn't it? Have you noticed? If you're a cord cutter like myself, most of y'all have been, gotten away from the cable television. Didn't like that, did you? $150, $175, $190, $200, $210. You're going, what the hell are we paying for? Why are we getting all this? What happens when the cable goes out? Then we got to call dude, and it's like 3 days from now he's going to come out and come hook you up. Well, what's the point of Netflix if I'm going to be stuck paying that bill, right? What's the point of cable if I'm watching Netflix? It goes two ways. Now what's happened? All right, so we got Netflix, which is groovy. Got the Hulu, which is pretty groovy. Got the Amazon Prime, which is pretty groovy. Apple Plus, having some problems over there, I understand. Apple's just trying to figure that one out. They had some issues. Disney Plus, they had some issues too. Namely in the fact that they didn't have as much content as they thought they had. So there's that. There's only so much you can put out there. HBO Plus, pretty interesting stuff that you can see on that. The problem with that is it's expensive. And that's part of it. That's what we vote. We buy things based on what's in our wallet, don't we? We vote with our wallet. We consume via our wallet. We do everything based on how much we're willing to spend on a monthly basis or a yearly basis to get the things that we want. And cable television done fucked all that up for everybody. And that's why everybody was like, screw this. We're getting out of this. And we're going to go the streaming route we've heard so much about, because the internet my understanding is it's here to stay. Matter of fact, I had a conversation about this with my wife yesterday about how, 20 years ago, the internet was a luxury item. Oh, you got the internet? Oh, we're coming over to your house. You know, 10 years ago, it became an essential. You had to have it. You couldn't live without it. Mobile phones, the smartphones came over, and we're going to get into that later too, but not this episode. The smartphone came around and it relied entirely on what it had access to on the web. Well, so did entertainment, of course. Radio made most of their changes that way. Well, you know, guys like us, thank you very much, have done our bit to really screw up terrestrial, which we did, and we still are. Watching them suffer is kind of amusing. On demand. Now, you can thank the podcast. Shows like this. Not us specifically. That would be ridiculous. Shows like this are really the forefront of on-demand entertainment, aren't they? Because it didn't happen live. It didn't happen in the moment. You know, you could share a listening experience with a couple of people in the room, perhaps, but for the most part, it's a very personal thing. It's just you and me, and I'm in your earbuds. Hey, how you doing? You're doing good today, aren't you? Glad to hear it. But with that, you had on-demand television. Ooh, video on demand. Cable flirted with that for a minute. Remember the VOD? There was a VOD button on your remote. You'd push that and it'd take you to their library of films that you could probably get, that they were charging you another couple of bucks for. That was because, you know, it's a premium service, by God. You know, Netflix once tried to buy Blockbuster, and Blockbuster said no. Wow, man, what a boneheaded move that was. It's all right. Didn't need them anyway, did they? So here's Netflix. All original programming, pretty much, for the most part. They don't have too many other. They've got a few. They've got some movies that have been released out there in other places. But still, it's mostly original content. It's pretty good. There's some good stuff up there. You know, you pay whatever it is you pay a month for that. And then you got your Amazon Prime, which comes with its own bells and whistles. And that's really like, that's your movie theater stuff that shows up in a quote unquote rental capacity. Movies you didn't get a chance to catch at the theater, you can grab that and watch that there. Plus they have their original programming as well. And Hulu does the same thing as all of that. So it's all there. I mean, yeah. And so what's happening though, we're finding ourselves as cord cutters back in the same boat again. And we've talked a little bit about this, but it's getting worse. And that's why it deserves the attention that we're about to give it. Because here's the problem. I want to watch something, right? But I want to be able, I want to have access to something, but I'm not quite sure exactly what all I'm getting for my money, right? Well, certainly, because we as Americans, we love choices and choices that we have. Granted, most of the choices that we are presented to as an American is how best to get fucked or how least to get fucked. And this is what's happening. The bundle services are coming. Oh, look out. Disney acquired a good chunk of Hulu, if not the whole thing. Well, what's that going to give you? I'm not sure, but the rates are going to go up. I know that. I don't have Disney Plus. Don't want it. I don't have kids. I could give a shit about the Star Wars universe. They fucked it all up. End of story. It ended at episode 6. Next, 7, 8, 9, horrible. Move along. Mandalorian, whatever the fuck that is. That's just, it's just a colossal waste of time because it just stuck the two words Star Wars in front of it, and it's going to create a demand for me to want to watch it. I don't care. I was there in 77 when the first one came out, and I was there at the end when it was when episode 6 happened. That's it. It's over. Return of the Jedi is the last one. My opinion, of course, strictly. Nevertheless, things are getting bundled. Things are getting put together. Things are there for you to enjoy, but you have to find a way to watch it. So let's just say, and I'll use this as an example because I have some experience with this, because I have a Roku device. That's what we have here at the home. I like Roku. Roku's got some cool stuff. It's a stable platform. It does pretty well for what I need it to do. And on that, you have these little apps that you can download that access you to various things. Most of them are free, which is kind of cool because they're ad supported. We know how I feel about that, right? But some of the stuff that you want to get may require you to have a subscription to a cable television service. Now, that alone baffles me because it's like, that's what's the point? It's done that way because, you know, on the surface, when you look at it, you go, why do I have to have a subscription to cable TV if I want to watch this particular thing on the Roku, right? On the on demand, on the internet, on the interwebs. Why do I have to have that? Well, I'll tell you why. The cable companies aren't going to necessarily let go of all this content because it's guaranteed subscription money that goes into that. Sports is the big one. That's what really drives that. If you wanted to watch, say, a major golf tournament, and there's an app that's going to stream that to you, but you have to have a cable service subscription to get into this because they got to get paid. Sports is such a big deal. That was one of the big hurdles for dealing with streaming content. ESPN has this ESPN app, right? It's $6 a month. We pay for that. I think it's six, four or six, something like that. My wife is a big fan of watching various things in sports. So she can get some on-demand content through that ESPN app. We also have Sling TV, which is kind of an ad hoc, weird, paid, sort of bundled, cable service, right? So there's like, I don't know, 20 channels on there. We pay like, I don't know, like $20. So you got that. Now we're still coming in way, way less than what we would have with cable, and that's fine. Because I have my limits. I'll pay for what I need, but I'm not paying any more than what cable was offering because that was just shit. Well, now we're all finding ourselves fighting that fight again because now we're spreading ourselves out. NBC is about to launch the Peacock Premium, which is kind of weird, which is free if you have cable television, which is dumb. CBS All Access, which is straight internet, straight streaming, right? They've actually kind of put it together, but that's $7 a month. So now I'm getting nickel and dime now at this point, just so I can watch one particular television show, which would probably be like Picard. Star Trek Picard, which I hear is fantastic. But I'm not going to shell out the money for that because I don't spend that much time watching television. I know it sounds awful, but that's the way it is. ABC is going to come out with some soon. I'm surprised TNT and TBS haven't done it yet. Maybe they do, and I'm just unaware of it, but that's the case. But see what's happening? Everybody's starting to grab their own thing and they're being protective of it instead of networking it and doing cool things with it. Prime example. So let me back up a second. So you've got all this happening, and that's in the premium spectrum. That's you as the consumer paying a monthly premium to get the access to those shows, right? Are we there? Other end of the spectrum, you've got the free stuff that's happening out there. And the free stuff does pretty well because, well, it's free. And because it's free, people are like, okay, I'll sit through commercials. I don't have a problem with that. We all did. We all do. We still do. You're doing it in this show. That's what happens, right? So Pluto TV comes out, 500 freaking channels or whatever. And it's, you know, it's binge watch heaven. I mean, there's an Addams Family channel. There's I don't know, Dog the Bounty Hunter channel. There's all these dumb channels that are out there, and you can sit there and get sucked into it and watch until you pass out. It's free. And it was okay. It was pretty good. Just last week, it was doing so well that Viacom shelled out $235 million for that service and bought it. I noticed the difference because immediately the platform changed a little bit. For the good, I'll give you that. They started putting more ads on it now, which is fine. It's what it's there for. They're still leaving it unedited, which is great. You know, they're not editing out all the fun stuff in an R-rated film. They're letting it run. They're just sticking ads in there. That's what they do. They do it on every one of their channels. Now, Pluto's got competition because, hey, we want a slice of this free TV pie too. Redbox. Remember Redbox? Sitting on the sidewalk there or the walkways you walked into, like a, typically like a Walgreens or something, like a drugstore. You'd walk, you know, you pop in, get whatever you needed, you know, and you come out and go, hey, let's get a movie for the kids. And then so you swipe your little card, you pay a couple of bucks, and you got a Blu-ray. And you took that Blu-ray home and you popped it in your player and you camped around the TV and you watched this movie and you had a time. Just like you used to do with Blockbuster. Or even Netflix at that one point when they were physically mailing you CDs or DVDs. Or Blu-rays, whatever. Now Redbox has decided to enter the free TV game by having their own service, and it's free. It's not much on there. They're still growing it, I'll give you that. But it just came out in the past 10 days or so. But it also has the ability for you to rent films. You can rent them like you would. But the cool thing is you don't have to get off your fat ass and go down and go get it, because it's now just being beamed directly into your deal. Beamed directly into your deal. But that's what it is. It's all coming to you now. And it's only a couple of bucks like it was before. So this is still rather enticing. I'm okay with this. So really, when it comes to streaming television, we're looking at two big things here. You've got the premium stuff on one hand, which everybody is all into because they love it. And then you got the free stuff, which is pretty okay because it's free and it's lovable. But there's the commercials and it's not necessarily upsetting anybody. It just makes things a little more, I don't know, a little different. It feels okay. Once you're into it, you're into it. And it's the way it should be. There's a competitiveness to it. Now, to me at least, we're losing that. Something has gone kind of awry. Something has kind of gone wrong here. Now it's all of this is strangely familiar because now this bundle shit is starting to happen again. We just dealt with this. This is why the cord cutters said, screw you. This is why we've got the internet, is to get away from shit like that because of the surcharges. Look, let me tell you something. $7 a month for CBS or whatever it is, that's what it is now. What's it going to be next year? What's it going to be 18 months from now? How much are you going to be willing to pay to keep that along with all your other shit that you got, including Netflix and Amazon and Hulu and the Peacock and whatever else comes around that you've got to have because it's premium stuff? Well, here's the good news in this, is it's starting to place a value or a sense of value, to the content. How much is it worth to you to watch that show? It's a rhetorical question. Is it as much as going to, you know, pay for a movie ticket? Because that was how it worked with Blockbuster. Movies would get released onto video, and you would go and you go rent the thing. And yeah, it was cheaper than getting it, you know, paying for a ticket at a movie theater. Now movie theaters have their thing. I mean, it's an atmosphere. You're sitting in a dark room with strangers, you're eating, you know, really salty, good popcorn, and got a gigantic jacuzzi of soda, and perhaps a beer if the place was acting right. You got one of those. You know, and you got the big sound thing, and you got the big screen, you got the comfortable chair. We've built all that at home now. That's what we've done. Movie theaters have turned into places for blockbusters, and that's what it is. And it happens twice a year, right? In the summertime and in the Christmas time around the holidays. New Year's, and they're just 6 months apart. Right now we're in dumping ground time. This is where it's all happening. This is the shitsville of Hollywood. However, still got the thing of the TV. But there's another issue here. The 18 to 34-year-old demographics, right? That's the millennials. It's the people that are 18 years of age up to 34. They do not, I know I'm stretching it with the word millennial in 34, but that's kind of what we're dealing with here. You're dealing with people who spend their entire time consuming their entertainment and their stuff through their phone, through their tablet, through their laptop, and maybe a desktop if you're lucky. They're not out buying TVs. They're not out buying homes. They'll rent. They don't cook at home. They go out because they don't spend much time on these devices. That's something else that's been of a bit of a conundrum. But they want their stuff when they want to get it. If they want to watch a show, they'll watch it when they want to watch it. That was the beauty of On Demand at the beginning, and it still is. And thanks to podcasting, it still is. And it'll always be that way. So the issue then becomes, well, how much are you willing to pay to watch this? I've drawn my line in the sand. I'm not spending another goddamn nickel on it. We got what I got. We've got so much now we can't even watch. We got more than we ever need to. And that's not without the add-ons. You know, if between Amazon and Netflix and Hulu and our over-the-air stuff, too, let's not forget that. Yeah, that's your regular networks. That don't cost you nothing. Just those four things alone gives me more than I ever need to really give a shit about. You know, plus I've got access to YouTube, the aforementioned Pluto. Now there's Redbox. But now it's this big hard sell that's been placed on all of us that cut the cable and say, ooh, look at this shiny new thing. Ooh, there's the Baby Yoda. I got to watch the Baby Yoda. How much am I going to spend for that? And then over here, I got this I got to watch. I got to, because I'm a big fan of blah, 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 blah. And we got to have this. So now you're back to being nickel and dime to death. And before too long, 18 months from now, mark my words, you're going to be sitting there with your cut cable in your hands. And not that I'm against that, because we did this for the reason. And I'm with you on this, man. Trust me. But you're going to be sitting there and go, God damn, how much do we spend in entertainment? And when times get tight, and they do, things start getting cut. Dude, am I really spending $6 a month for ESPN? What the hell? You know, boom, out of here. Did we watch any Hulu last month? No, boom, out of here. You spend a lot of time juggling those accounts and it becomes sort of pointless and worthless. But it goes back to two as well. What is the expected value of the content you are paying for? Is it worth it? Is it worth it? And what do you do after you've done binge watching? You watch an entire season, which is what anywhere from 10 to 13 episodes. You watch an entire season over a weekend, right? You're piled up on the couch, you know. You got more pickles and potato chips than you can deal with, the occasional pizza. You stop every once in a while to go take a dump, and then you come back and sit down with a beer, and you watch this until all of the episodes are consumed. And then what? What do you do now? Wait for the next big thing. And that's what they do. They troll you along looking for something else to kind of get into your grill about. Boy, howdy, have we not come from a really weird place in time, haven't we? Gone from when we were sort of slave to the TV guide to now our real TV guide is what your friends are telling you that they're watching. Isn't that funny how that works? Man, I just finished a show on Netflix and it was good and all, but hey, what are y'all watching? Y'all recommend any good shows? Because nobody's promoting it. I mean, no, Netflix doesn't promote all their shows per se. They do some, you know, some of the big stuff that they're doing. But like the smaller network types, the series, anthology series, you're not seeing much of that. You have to, it's all word of mouth. Somebody's talking about it up on social media. Or a friend of mine said, over at the party, having a beer together and eat a burger. And he goes, oh man, have you checked out the show? It's on Netflix. Really? Yeah, cool. Check it out. You'll like it. That's how that works. That's the world that we're in. And now we're being forced as consumers to figure out where it is that we're supposed to be. Guess what's happening? It goes back to what I talked about at the very beginning of the show. You got a chicken sandwich, don't you? Where did you get it? Was it Popeyes or Chick-fil-A? You got a fish sandwich. Did you get it from Mickey D's or did you get it from Arby's? And we made this decision based on what? What do we make these decisions based on what they told us? And so it was up to us to figure it out which one was the less shitty of the two. Welcome to streaming television, kids, because that's the world that we're going to right now. Which one's the less shitty? It's a valid question. I hope you can figure it out. Let me know if you do.
Get on the Memphis Brew Bus. Every Saturday at 2 p.m., we'll take a 3.5-hour adventure through the Memphis craft brewery scene. The Memphis Brew Bus stops at 3 local breweries for some special behind-the-scenes tours, talks with the master brewers, and, of course, tasting of their signature brews. While on the bus, you'll hear stories and learn about the history of beer. Plus, you'll get some music from the Radio Memphis Library. Go to memphisbrewbus.com and find them on Facebook. The Memphis Brew Bus. We'll drive you to drink.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
Technology's great, isn't it? Man, when you peruse like technology news, you find about stuff like, you know, new breakthroughs in treatments of disease, things to fix you when you like lose a leg. You got a car that can do this, that, or the other, drive you to the moon and back. There's a million things that go on out there. We look so forward to hearing about some good positive stuff in technology and science, right? That's why there's a whole bit in the morning show on science news, because we like to delve into that a little bit. But one thing that we don't really consider much when it comes to technology is how much we're like married to it. Because really the top stories, when you pull down a list of stories in regarding the terms technology, you know what the number one thing is? It's your freaking phone. You know why that is? They know that you carry that thing wherever it is that you go. Everything. That's the most important thing in the world. You know why that it is? Because it is.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Right, you heard what's coming up next time on the program. Tonight at radio-memphis.com, it's the number one blues show in America. Yeah, I said it. People keep telling me that it is. I haven't really bothered to look into the research of it, and I haven't signed up for any service that says so, but apparently it is. It's an award-winning show. I know that because the award's sitting in our green room there at Radio Memphis. But tonight it is Mick Colossa. If you happen to be catching this, by the way, today's the 23rd of February. This is the date of production of this show. 8 p.m. Central Time tonight. So if you happen to catch it before then, catch this before then, you'll know to tune in to radio-memphis.com to hear Mick Colossa as he debuts, world premiere debut of his brand new record called The Blind Lemon Sessions. It'll be a lot of fun. Mick will play live for us, I'm thinking, probably play a couple of tunes over there. We'll play the album, we'll chat, we'll tell stories, we'll have some fun, because Mick is a great guy. And I'll tell you something, if you buy Mick's records, he doesn't profit a nickel off of them. All of the profit that he gets off of those records, he donates to the Heart Fund. It's a great charitable thing. We'll talk about that tonight on the air, so you can hear the story about that. Plus, you'll hear the whole thing about his new label, Endless Blues. Yeah, that's tonight, 8 p.m. Central at radio-memphis.com. So there's that. Monday, it is LJ and I back in the morning show with the usual frivolity. It's us dragging ass in there on a Monday morning to sort through the detritus of the internet. And then in the nooner, Donna has for us Steve Shadd, who's going to be performing a little bit and talking with her, and the usual elements of the program. So there it is. Got your hours planned out for you, man. What do you got to worry about? Nothing. Ain't nothing on TV anyway. We just discussed that. there's always something. Always something. It's like when you're hungry and you go into the kitchen and you open up the refrigerator and you look, and nothing really strikes you, right? And you close the door, and so you go over to like where you keep your dry goods, your pantry, if you will. You open that up and you say, there's something in it. No. Then what do? You go back to the refrigerator. Your standards become a little bit lower each time you go and reopen one of those cabinets. That's what television has become. That looks okay. I don't know about that. I don't know. What's over here? And then you look over there for a while, same thing. And then you go back to where you first started and go, let's just sit and suffer through this. I've spent an hour and a half of my night trying to find what the fuck I'm going to watch. Oh, my God. That's what it is, and that's how that works. And that wraps up this episode from Radioland. Thank you for tuning in and being a part of it. Please tell a friend. Episode 315 in the books. There you go. You heard what's coming up next time. Until then, please take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. For God's sake, stop shooting each other, okay? I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been from Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.